There we go. Praise God. Let me give you that. Thank you, babe. It's great to be in the Berg. It's great to be here with you. I love your pastor and his pastor very much. Pastor Rick sends me a text every Sunday morning. Sent me one this morning. Usually it is always a timely encouragement before I step into the pulpit and serve. And you know what I love about your pastor? Unmatched worship. Just loves to just go reckless abandon. You should worship like your pastor. A lot of people are consumers in worship. You need to be a participator in worship. Everybody arms up. I'm not your pastor, but you should feel free to move about the cabin and just worship and praise and lift it up. The seatbelt signs off. And the one thing I noticed about Pastor Nick, about his worship, is times 10 with Pastor Rick. That guy, when we're together worshiping, arms up. I mean, he's like an orangutan almost. The guy goes crazy, and he's like the most white singer, but he tries to sing all the gospel harmonies, and the guy's amazing. I love their character. I love their integrity. I love that. I love how this church just loves people like Stephanie. Right, Stephanie? No. What? Tell me your name, sister. She's looking at me. Yeah. Christy. I messed up. I asked my wife, is it Stephanie? She said, I forgot. Sorry. They love people like Christy, who it's her birthday today. And on the count of three, let's say happy birthday. One, two, three. So I don't know the whole story, but I heard a little dip that her husband's away. He's somewhere and he can't be here. He can't connect. So he reached out to his pastor and said, hey, will you help me? I want to honor her for her birthday. And she got flowers. I'm thinking, man, that's what the church does. We just like roll together. Happy birthday. That's good. Let's get into the word. Oh, man. Nope. I got to wait. I got to deal with something. The Bible's clear. If you come to the altar to bring your gift and you got a deal in your heart, an offense with somebody, a brother maybe, a taller brother, that you got to lay your gift down and go deal with that, right? So we're at the leadership conference and I'm serving there doing the sound. I got to speak in a session there. It was good. But My bro Nick comes up like he does. Sometimes he'll put his arm around me like he just covered. Like, how many of you had the Nick where he just boom, you like in? But this was it was more of a Judas feel. When he tapped me on the back and he whispers, go Chiefs, bro. And all of a sudden I start walking down the hall and people are laughing, they're pointing, and there's a sign that he put on my back. I love the Eagles. I release it. No more bitterness, Lord. No more bitterness.
Don't sit no more.
And I ain't even gonna start talking about grandpa when they wheelchair grandpa in the field in his neighborhood this year. I ain't even gonna start there. That's gonna be let's get to the word. As I said in the first service, it's an honor to be here. It's a privilege. You are blessed. You This is a wonderful atmosphere. My heart was so touched in worship, just seeing you engage and seeing the love and the unity that's here. And the bar's set high here.
Yes.
It needs to be set high here. This is not an ordinary church, amen. This is a victory church. This is a church that is an overcoming. And this church is moving onward and upward in the name of Jesus. So, yeah. I want to introduce the most beautiful woman in the building this morning. I don't know if you ever had that happen in a service, but she just happens to be here today. That's my wife, Dawn. Dawn, would you stand? Married 32 years, June. Still my first marriage. Thankful for that. Working it out. We have a 50-year contract. We are renegotiating our contract in 50 years. And I'm going to be putting some new things in the contract. She said, so am I. I said, but I think the guy's got a picture of our family. I want to show you. So that's Brittany, my daughter. She was in the roar earlier. She's beautiful vocalist, worshiper. My son, Jared, he lives in Florida. Jared's tender from the moment we dedicated him to the Lord. The minister, the glory of God fell in the service like I've never seen before. And we were all trembling. And when it was like a Mufasa moment when he took the baby, when he took Jared, and he said the words, "You will be a joy life. You will be a joy baby, a joy child. Everywhere you go in your life, the atmosphere will change." And that is the truth. Every single job he's had, every single place he goes, people are drawn to him. "Hey, my life's a mess. Can you just pray for me? Jared, you're so joyful. What's different about you?" And so I'm thankful for him. That's his wife, Alyssa. But beyond my girl, who looks amazing, these two are my favorites. This is Aj. Our name's Audrey. That's my Aj. I say, "Who's my favorite?" She said, "Me, Papa." I said, "Anybody else?" "Nope, just me, Papa." And that's True. We call him True True. And I say, "True True, who's my favorite?" He says, "Both." So that's my. I get to be with them in a couple weeks. I called him yesterday. I said, "What do you want to do when you get with Mimi and Papa?" "Oh, I'm driving that boat, Papa. We're driving the boat and we're going swimming at the lake." I said, "Anything you want." I said, "Whatever you want." So thankful. Speaking of legacy, speaking of wonderful, I was here last night. I got to be with a lot of the team and have a meal. I got to meet the most beautiful, innocent, tender, blonde-haired little boy that I may have ever seen, wearing his little trucker hat, wearing his little cool shoes. I got to meet little Lennon. And there was a minute where I was sitting at about 10:30 last night in an incline car and in the incline sauna. It was so hot. Lennon was sitting next to me. And I just looked at this little boy and I said, "Lord, this little boy is so perfect. Who in their right mind would ever have given up a perfect child like this?" And the Lord said, "Well," he said, "I'm not even thinking about that." He says, "I was already thinking about the perfect parents and the generational legacy that I'm going to put on Lennon's life." Yes. See, some people think an adoption's a piece of paper. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are all walking through the spirit of adoption, whereby we all cry out, "Abba, Father." You realize we're every person in here, unless you're of Jewish descent, all of us are Gentiles. That means we were grafted in. Woo. But see, that ain't a piece of paper. That means that the same robe that he takes off and he gives to this son is the same robe that he takes off and he gives to us. You know, can you see little Lennon in a pulpit one day and looking over at his bald-headed, I was going to say gray-haired, but I don't know if he'll... And there's his daddy, and he says, "Dad, thanks for being obedient. Thanks for modeling Jesus. Thanks for breaking that orphan spirit off of me." Now, Lenny pulled me aside last night, and he said, "Would you talk to my mom and dad for me?" I said, "Sure, anything." He says, "I'm really wanting a little sister really bad." It landed too hard this time, too. He did not tell me that, but it happened the first service perfectly. I was like, I can't lie to him. But I looked at little Lenny this morning. I said, "Lord," I said, "fill this house with beautiful, 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 beautiful children." Amen. Amen. And we got to see Jordan and Maria yesterday. They're two of our favorites too. We prayed just as hard for Nick and Rachel as we did for Jordan and Maria. And God's in control. And we got to see Maria, and I grabbed that little baby, and I just began to cry. I said, "Lord, what a miracle. What a miracle." So it's good. It's It's good to be with family. This isn't just a service. This is a family moment for all of us. Amen. We're gonna talk this morning. The title of the message is Praising Through the Pain or Through the L's. Now, how many here is over 45 years of age? Let me just see. Aha. You might not know what an L is. And I didn't think of this, but I had about five people in the first service walk up and said, Pastor, I don't know what an L is, but if you said it, it was good, and I ain't taking no L's. An L is a loss. So the title of the message, Praising Through the Pain, Praising Through Losses, Praising Through Difficulties. So we're going to go to Lamentations 3:21. Now, a lot of times I teach out of the Old Testament as well as the New, and I do that very purposefully because they work hand in hand perfectly. The things you'll see in the Old Testament always not only embrace, but they show the goodness and the completion of what's happening in the New Testament. So when you get to the New, it fulfills everything you saw in the Old. So Lamentations 3, English Standard Version, I'm going to read the message here in a minute as well, but it says, but this I call to mind, Lamentations 3:21, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, you should underline it. You should mark that because you're going to need that. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Brand new. You're going to need that here in a minute when we come to the other scripture. Great is your faithfulness. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, we're going to read it again in the message, so they'll put it on the screen for us. Lamentations 3:21 message version. But there's one other thing I remember. And remembering, I keep a grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great your faithfulness. Verse 24, I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I've got left. Verse 25, God proves to be good to the man who passionately waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. It's a good thing to quietly hope for help from God. So now go with me to Acts chapter 16:22. The reason I'm reading that is because I wanted to just give you a section of the word from the Old Testament that shows that no matter what happens in life, you are not the only one going through goods, bads, and uglies. And if I asked you who's going through a good season, there might be a lot of hands. If I said who's going through a bad season, there might be some more hands. But it seems like overwhelmingly, especially in the day we live, if I said who's got some uglies going on, there'd be a lot of hands. Things are ugly. But I'm going to tell you the one thing that's consistent in the good, the bad, the ugly. God is good.
Amen.
God is faithful. God sees you when others might speak bad about you, when others might mistreat you, when others might shame your name, when others might not keep their word with you. God sees you. And I think the place that the church of today, his New Testament church, needs to get in their spirit is that we need to always be in a place that we are always fighting from a place of victory, not a place of defeat. So, no L's. Okay? You and I, and I'm slanging it a little, we ain't taking no L's.
Amen.
We ain't taking no L's. Don't live in a place where you're chalking up L's. You know, there was a time when Michael Jordan's team was getting it handed to him every single time. They'd go to the locker room, and they're not going any further in the playoffs. And at the end of his frustration, one season, he, as the leader of that team, walked in and he said, sit down. We're reporting back like in 2 days or whatever the schedule was. You better show up at this gym. And they all said, we're off season. We ain't off season. We're tired of taking the L's. We're tired of getting beat. And that literally put a shift in motion that changed and created one of the most longstanding destinies in the Chicago Bulls. The fact that somebody said enough's enough, and they turned that. Somebody told me in the break, two L's or W. I said, you're right. It's all perspective. You might be taking losses, but you were created, and in Christ, you're positioned to take the W.
Thank you, Jesus.
So let's go to Acts chapter 16, verse 22. The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. Verse 24, and he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet to the stocks. But at about midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out in the darkness, mind you, saying, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. Verse 29, and he called for the lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Father, I thank you for your word. This is your word. It's perfect. It's on time. It's full of hope. It's full of mercy. It's full of truth. Sometimes it's full of correction. It's yours. We've said it. We've proclaimed it. Now use it to get into our hearts to take us to a new place of victory. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
So Paul and Silas are in Europe. And basically, a demon-possessed girl gets set free, which is what caused this whole thing in the first place. This chapters back, this lady's being demonically controlled for profit. They are making money off of this lady. Several business guys are making money off of this demonic situation. She keeps pinging Paul and pulling out the God who is in Paul. And he, frankly, just gets annoyed. And he's like, get out of her. Like, we ain't got no time for this. And when those men realized that they were going to lose money, their income stream just dried up. They went, and that's where we picked up the story. They put a word of complaint against these men who did nothing wrong. They were just going, traveling, sojourning on. They end up in jail after being beat. And let me just say to you, this is not new to Paul. If you know anything about Paul's journey, Paul was beat, stoned, left for dead, many times. And I'll just reference 2 Corinthians 11:23. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have slept in the deep. This guy is not unfamiliar with what's happening. So they're beaten, they're lied about, they're taken to jail, and they are not only taken to jail, they are shackled, and they are put in the inner, lower the worst part of the prison. See, that's what the enemy wants to do to us. He wants to convince you that you're the only one, that this is the only thing, the only instance it's ever happened, then that you are going to be totally alone, literally in the dark, and no one cares about you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You might be alone, but in Jesus Christ, in Holy Spirit power, you are never alone. Your emotions might betray you and make you feel alone, but he is, what does the word say? He sticks closer than a brother. You're not alone. So it's up to you and I to shake that mindset, that perspective. So they're beaten, and yet they still have the unction to praise. I mean, they're embarrassed, they're humiliated, they're beaten, they're thrown in jail. And yet, they might have said something. Now, in today's worship, they might have said, like, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who never fails. They might have pulled out Isaiah 51. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Maybe they sang one of Bill Gaither's favorites, for all you over 40s. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Whatever they sang at midnight, they started the new day with praise and worship. Not whining, not complaining, not venting, not in anger. They literally started and shook it off and just said, you know what? It doesn't matter what it looks like. The devil will not have the last say in our situation. Isn't that the way life goes, though? Have you ever seen that in your own? You're going through life. You're doing, you're obeying, and the thanks you get for walking in integrity, the thanks you get for having a prayer time and reading your Bible is you get the big beat down. You get the go directly to jail, do not pass go, do not collect $200. And I'm going to tell you something. That's never going to change. Some of you, and the church needs to keep it in perspective. Right. When you get saved, that doesn't mean all your problems go away. When you do not have Jesus, that means you do not have peace. When you get saved, I've never seen someone get saved and all their problems went away. But I will tell you that I've seen men like Pastor Keith Tusey. That guy, I've seen him and his family get pulled through a knothole backwards time and again. And you know what one of the best words out of his mouth is? Well, hallelujah. And he just walks around and says, okay, God, you were with me back there. You're with me here and you're with me up there. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it doesn't matter if you've taken some L's. You can't stay in the L zone. I want you to repeat this after me. Say, I. Now, about 20% of you did that. Let's all do it together. I am not a victim.
I might have been victimized,
but I am victorious.
That's
right. That's right. Some of you need to write that down. I'm not a victim. I don't need anyone but God to validate me. We need to live in that place. They showed this model. Because what would it look like if we turn the tables? And at the midnight hour, Silas, he looks at Paul and he says, what every other Christian says, why? Why did God let this happen? Now listen, I could tell you, and my wife will tell you, We ask that question a lot, and we shouldn't. God does not owe us the answer to why. He just owes us the answer of who. Sidetrack. Don't have this in my notes. There's a big storm. All the disciples are with Jesus. And where's he? He's sleeping. He's sleeping in the storm. And I've thought about this many, many, many times. Probably I've taught on this many times. And I've come to the deduction that this could have been one of two scenarios. I firmly believe that this was a test for the disciples. This was, now you're like, wait, God set this up? God knew the enemy was coming. Now, I just want to give a couple of you a word today. The enemy can never blindside God. So if something rough goes through your life, God allowed it. Well, I thought you said God was good. Oh, he is good. And he's trying to show you that it don't matter what comes against you, you are an overcomer. So this storm comes and water's coming and they're sinking. And what do? They always go back to their natural instinct. See, that's the problem with us. We always go back to the carnal, and usually as a last resort, we go to the spiritual. Well, Pastor, I didn't pray. I didn't fast. I didn't shut off my social media. I told four of my friends all the problems, and I whined and complained, and I threw something and broke it in the house, and I just can't pray. The disciples showed us. They went over and they shook Jesus. Hey, do you not care? We're going down. So Jesus gets up and he models. What did he say? Peace. Be still. Instantly. It didn't say within 2 minutes. It said, boom, instantly. But then he turns and he looks at those disciples. He said, bros, what are you doing? I think that scenario could have played another way. And the storm came up and water came in the boat. And Peter, one of the 12, stood up and said, in the name of Jesus, that man's sleeping right there, peace. And you know what would have happened? Those waves would have stopped. And then you would have seen Jesus would have stood up and went, woo, Peter, you guys are getting it. You're getting it. Let's go. I'm telling you, I'm convinced that this was not just another random story to teach us about overcoming fear. This was a test, and there's a lot of things that come through your life, sometimes on the daily, sometimes every day, and you need to pass the test. And a big way to pass the test is just throw up my hands and praise you again and again. I ain't got much but a hallelujah. This probably isn't even perfect for a king. It says something like that, but it says hallelujah again and again. When you're lied about, when you're doing right but treated wrong, when you're living right and the pain won't leave your body, pay attention to the constant cover to cover in the Bible. Praise is the greatest weapon. Remember the walls of Jericho. He said, you'll walk around six, but on the seventh, you let out a shout. The shout changes the atmosphere. Your praise will change the atmosphere. So it says that the earth quaked. Why did the earth quake? Well, we did a search, Pastor Tim, and we found out that earthquakes were common back then. It was just a seismic event. No, you can't explain it away. The earth quaked because some people in a jail cell that shouldn't have even been there in the first place turned their pain into praise. God's on his throne in heaven, and he's like, wait, do you hear that? Do you smell that? That's incense. They're sending up incense right now. You know what? I need to show them that I get it. I need to show them I received it. Do you notice the earth quaked, the ground shook, all of their chains were loosened, the doors were opened. There's a lot that was said there. That means that every single person in the prison, I don't know how many of them there were, but I know that not one of them moved. They were all exposed to God that day. They were all exposed. Have you ever thought, I know Dawn, my wife, she's gotten into 5Ks, and I know Rachel's mom's into, she just told Dawn that she's like at an 8-minute mile. She needs to be in like the Pittsburgh, you know, over 45-year-old runner hall of fame. I mean, an 8-minute miles, I could never do that for $1 million. Like, maybe. But there's this gear when a marathon runner gives up, when there's this gear that they say happens and they shift to get to the end. Something you don't even know you have that will come up out of you and help you push and push and push to the end. God has not called you to be broke down on the side of the road. He has called you to be an overcomer. He has called you to win. He has called you to, yeah? He has called you to be in a place of perpetual praise. Praise gets God's attention. Praise will shift the room and everybody in the room and around the room. When you praise, you change your perspective. You don't always change the situation, but it's not always about the situation. It's about where our heart is. It's about how we process. Have you ever heard that word before? I just need to process. God is not the slowest processor. God is instant. You praise, he will invite himself. When you welcome him, he will come in and he will start to take that perspective and change your heart and your mind. It's like that with unforgiveness. Do you know that there's not one instance of unforgiveness that's justified? Can you name one? Had a friend, a minister in Texas, and he got called to death row. And he got to serve the minister rights to this man as he ate his last meal. And this man was no stranger to him. He'd visited him many times. Born again, spirit-filled Christian. He murdered a young man in cold blood. He knew it was not an accident, full intention. He went to the jail, and they judged him accordingly, and they said, you will spend your days here, and you are going to death row. You will die by electrocution. So he's there for a couple weeks. The guard comes to the cell, and he says, hey, you got a visitor. Who would come and visit me? There's this older lady crying, this man. He says, what do you want? I'm the father. This is the mother of the son you killed. Instantly, he got up and he left. He said, don't ever come back. They came back the next week. They came back the next week. They came back the next week. And finally, after about 6 weeks, he slammed his hand on the counter and says, what do you want from me? They said, hear me. They said, we wanted you to know that we forgave you for killing our son. And we want to offer you an opportunity right now. We want to go ahead and adopt you as our son. And we want to love and care for you. You took away our most precious thing. And we want to ask you, would you allow us to be your mom and dad? When I heard that story, I thought, are you on drugs? The glory of God fell in the room. This man almost fell on the floor. he got saved. He got filled with Holy Spirit power. He began to lead people to Jesus like crazy in the prison. And the last day in his last meal, they would not let the minister in the room. They would let him here with a piece of glass. And he looked at my friend Robbie and he said, "Robbie, I just want to bless you." He said, "Robbie, put your hand on the glass. My friend Robbie said, "When I put my hand on the glass, electricity shot through my body and I fell on the floor and I could not get up for a matter of minutes." He said, "The presence of God hit me so hard, all I could do was weep and thank God for his goodness." And when he got up and he just said, "You know, I love you," he said, "Listen, I owe it all to Jesus." Praise will change everything in your situation. So the interesting thing about them worshiping is they influence somebody. Can I just tell you that in the midst of pain, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of disappointment, your praise will invite somebody else to the goodness of God?
Yes.
The jailer got saved and his family got saved because the presence of God was so strong in that jail cell. It drew him in, but also Paul's integrity. We're all here. We didn't go nowhere. God did not direct us. God just showed up on the scene and has business to take care of here. We ain't going nowhere. And then this guy got saved, and instantly, you talk about a discipleship model, instantly he takes a prisoner. He cleans them up. He feeds them. He trusted them around his family. That's big. That's a big thing. You say, what does that mean? That means that it doesn't matter the carnal of the situation. You always got to see deeper into what God's doing in the situation. Psalm 69:29 says, "But I am afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hooves. The humble have seen it and are glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive.
Yes.
For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his who are prisoners."
Yes.
Now, I sensed something in my heart earlier. I didn't feel released to share it in the first service. And I'm not going to ask publicly. Maybe after service you could tell your pastor, or you could come and find my wife and just say, "Yeah, this was me," or whatnot. But I sense that somebody is really dealing with a very disappointing outcome of a miscarriage. And I don't know if that's recently. I don't know if that's, you know, this could be something you've been fighting with and contending with God. But I just want you to know that God put it on my heart the last few days. He said, "Listen, there's somebody there that this is an L, and it's killing them, it's hurting them, and they're almost being destroyed by it." I don't have the answer, but I know he does. And if that word, if this is you, like somebody, or maybe you have a friend, I don't know, and I didn't want to embarrass you publicly, but I just want to pray for you really quick, and then I'm going to land the plane with all of us, okay? Lord, I just pray for whoever it is that's dealing with the damage or the baggage or the emotion trauma of a miscarriage. Master, you thought it enough to call them out. Break every chain. Open every cell door that they can walk out of that and be fully who you've created them to be. That they will not identify, that will not be their ID, that you are their hope, you are the glory, and you are the lifter of their head. And Lord, as they ask why, like I've done, that you will calm their fear. You will calm that vice of depression. And we just break that off in Jesus' name. That you will not walk in despair anymore in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Now I want you to stand with me this morning as we close. I just normally, when we do an altar call, sometimes we'll put up a soft piano. But I'm not at the ordinary church. I'm at the church where the pastor has the coolest shoes of anybody in four states. Any guy that preaches in J's, I mean, come on. I was going to wear my J's. I bought J's to be like him. But I thought, I've never seen these people. I better wear my Cole Haans today, which, I mean, I think they trump his J's today. I think they're pretty sharp. But I'm going to play a song about taking no L's, taking no losses. And I just want this song to get into your heart and your soul. And this week when you're rolling and something tries to smack you, the enemy tries to remind you that you're defeated, I literally want you to say, I'm not taking no L's. The battle's been won, okay? So I want you to lift your hands. Can you do this? Can you take your hands and lift them? And I just want you to close your eyes. And I just want you to be in a place where you can receive. So you're going to hear some words. Some of you might know it. Some of you might not. But just stay in this place where God can minister to your heart for the next few minutes. And then I'm going to pray for you. Go ahead. Kick that up loud, okay? Hallelujah, Father. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. The battle's won. He said it's done. We ain't taking no L's. The devil told some of you, you'll never be free. Today, this is your day. I am walking in freedom and I will never go back. Some of you, he said, you'll never have a traditional family. You'll never have kids. You'll never have a marriage. You're alone. You just need to say, shut up, devil. I am who God said. I will have what God said. He will give me the desires of my heart. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for this church, this outreach center, this lighthouse of hope in Pittsburgh, in a place of darkness, in a place of crime, in a place of despair. I pray that this church would be more aggressive than they have been in the last 10 years, and they would see souls and disciples. They would see families raised up. I thank you that the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. No weapon formed against this church will prosper. I thank you, God. I just speak over, I'm going to speak over this church, but I'm going to include, we have no stepchild campuses, all of Bridge City. Let's just agree, the favor of God dripping off of this church, that many will come and see and fear, that word fear, that they will have a magnet pulling and they will put their hope in Jesus. I pray that as they're giving the missions, you would sow back to these campuses. Lord, we don't sow in vain. We sow in purpose. We're sowing over to Kenya, but souls will be saved here. Disciples will be made here. Marriages will be restored here. We pray for the youth ministry here that it will explode in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, and I already said it once, but I'm going to end it again. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.